Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listener mail. My name's Robert Lamb.
And I am Joe McCormick. And it's Monday, the day of each week that we read back messages from the Stuff to Blow Your Mind email address. If you have never gotten in touch with us before, maybe you should give it a try. You can reach us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com. Whatever you want to send is fair game, but we, of course, always appreciate feedback to recent episodes, especially if you have something interesting you'd like to add to a topic we've talked about. Let's see, Rob, if you don't mind, I'm going to kick things off with this message from Hannah in response to our series on strange ice.
Yeah, let's have it.
Hannah says, "Hi, guys. I've been listening for years. I love your podcast. I have stimulating conversations with people in my daily life that are inspired by your episodes. Regarding the strange ice, have you guys covered super cooled liquid water? Once, my father took a water bottle from our home freezer. It was in liquid form inside the bottle. As he opened it and tilted it downward to pour, we both watched as the water began freezing from the mouth of the bottle all the way to the end of the bottle. It's been many years since this happened, and I know the phenomenon exists, but I'm starting to doubt that I saw it in real life as opposed to a dream or something. Do you know anything about this, and is it something that can happen in a conventional domestic freezer? Again, love your podcast. Keep up the good work. Robert, Joe, and team. Sincerely, Hannah." Yes, Hannah. Yes, you are right. This is an example of what is called supercooling. It happens when water gets below the freezing point, below the temperature where it would normally freeze, while somehow still remaining a liquid. And in this supercooled state, it can freeze very rapidly all of a sudden. And it's not even especially rare from what I can tell. You can look up tons of videos of this online. Often it seems to be happening with water inside smooth plastic bottles or bottled water, you know, pre-bottled water that's sold in stores. When it is stored in the freezer or maybe outside in sub-zero temperatures. And yeah, it seems that it can happen in a normal domestic freezer. And that's because from everything I've read, it doesn't really actually depend very much on the environment outside the container of water, apart from it being below the freezing temperature. It is more related to what's inside the container. It's related to the makeup of the water and the container in which it is stored. So the common explanation is that ice crystals need what are called nucleation points. So that's a place where crystals of ice can begin to form within the mass of liquid water. And usually this is some kind of impurity in the water, maybe some kind of particle suspended within it or something dissolved in it, or it can be a rough place in the wall of the container in which the water is stored. But in a smooth container with very pure water, sometimes there isn't any nucleation point that would allow ice crystals to begin to form, and the water goes sub-zero while remaining a liquid. This comes to an end when the liquid is disturbed or agitated in some way. So if you bonk the bottle against something, or you shake it, or you tip it over to pour it, in all these cases, suddenly some kind of nucleation point is found, and then the water freezes all at once. And a really interesting thing I've noticed is that in all the videos I've seen of this, the ice forms from the top down rather than from the bottom up. So it forms, away from the Earth's center of gravity, moving toward the Earth's center of gravity. I don't know exactly why that is, but that seems curious. Another interesting fact is that a similar thing can happen in the opposite direction as well, with the creation of superheated water. And this is one reason it can be hazardous to microwave plain water without anything in it. Sometimes water in the microwave can exceed the normal boiling point of water while still remaining a liquid, if there is no nucleation point allowing steam bubbles to begin to form. So in the case of like a microwaved mug or bowl of water, this can mean the water gets above 100 degrees Celsius or 212 Fahrenheit, and then, it just stays a liquid, sort of still liquid without bubbles in this superheated state. And then when you put something in it, like you stick a spoon or a tea bag in it, or you add some ingredient to it, suddenly it has nucleation points where it didn't have them before, and it sort of explodes, sending a splash of boiling water all over the place, and of course can burn people. In both cases, superheating and supercooling seem to be more likely with very pure water. So I've read that the microwave thing is more likely to happen. It's more dangerous if you are using distilled water. Most of the time, tap water has enough impurities that bubbles will form, but it's still better to exercise caution when microwaving water, even if it is tap water.
All right, this next one comes to us from Jeff with one F. Jeff writes, "Greetings, science humans. I believe Emma Frost's diamond powers," this is a character in the X-Men comics, "are supposed to make her essentially invulnerable. But based on your diamond episodes, it seems as though her archenemy should be Thor, or at least anyone else with access to hammer technology."
Very good. Referring to the fact that you usually cannot dent or scratch a diamond, but you can shatter one with a hammer.
Right. And I believe in that episode, I kind of just put the call out, if there are any other diamond-related comic book things we should know about, to write in. And so that's what Jeff gets to. Jeff says, "In the DC Comics universe, there's a character named Jeannette, a proper mythological banshee, who kills one of her tormentors by repeatedly mixing, not diamonds, but ground glass into her daily meals.
Ugh.
It did take years for the victim to die in prolonged agony of what was thought to be an undiagnosable disease, which is more plausible than death by a single hit of crushed diamond." I had to look this character up, and it looks like that at some point in the, the telling and creation of this character, she also ties into the household of Countess Elizabeth Bathory. It sounds like the creators had a lot of fun putting this character together.
Yikes. That does seem more plausible. I'd agree. Whatever the poisonous properties or lack thereof of a, single small amount of powdered diamond, I'd imagine if you just keep feeding it to people over and over for a long time, it's got to do something not great.
Yeah. Jeff continues, "On a completely different note, allow me a moment to proselytize the tuna crab. They are a most adorable, colorful, and slightly nightmarish species, and I believe worthy of your attention." And, at that point, I believe the author, Jeff, here included a bunch of links. And Joe, you dragged in some images of these creatures.
Yeah, they looked kind of like cooked crayfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
With crawdads, often they have a more kind of, they can have different colors, but might have more like a brown appearance on the shell before cooking. After you cook them, the shell turns bright red. These in life appear bright red. And they're also kind of shaped like crayfish in that they've got these curling tails with fins on them and claws in the front. So they're shaped kind of like crayfish, but they have these elongated front pincers.
Jeff continues, they spend most of their lives swimming in the open ocean, migrating from the deep to the surface at will. While they are very different creatures, they look a bit like squid while swimming, traveling in a jerky, non-fish-like motion, with the hydrodynamic portion of the animal in the front and the limbs dangling behind. And then as an aside, Jeff says, snorkeling near squid can be quite disorienting after you've acclimated to normal fish behavior. When you see a squadron of them in the distance, they look like a bunch of deformed mutant fish with all the body parts in the wrong place, which may be an enormous jaw or possibly shredded body on the back of the animal. I have to throw in that I've only seen maybe one or two squid out while snorkeling, but they're isolated, but it's a really cool experience because they are so strange, especially if you have been looking at fish all day. Jeff continues, tuna crabs are not actual crabs, but squat lobsters, which are also not actual lobsters. They are more closely related to hermit crabs. They are also related to the Langostino red lobster that got in trouble for passing off as a real lobster. The tuna crabs spend their early life floating around as plankton. Some crustaceans have an insane life cycle with around 15 distinct larval stages, putting Pokemon evolutions to shame. Scientists have a lot of trouble distinguishing between different species and simply different forms of the same creature. One major complication of domesticating marine species for aquaculture is these microscopic stages of life, which would be inadvertently removed from any aquarium with a normal filtration system. Imagine the difficulty of raising cows or pigs that have millions of offspring at once, all of whom are in great danger of being sucked into the ventilation system. Thanks for tolerating my meandering spam, and more importantly, thanks for presenting us all with so many varied and interesting topics to ponder. Jeff.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. Great email. You know, I don't think I knew that red lobster ever got in trouble for trying to sell langoustines as real lobster, especially because I thought langoustines were a delicacy. I've had them before, and I thought they were considered good.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, people want to know what they're buying. But they're supposed to be in the tank, right, with the rubber bands. So it should be a situation where you're maybe there. I have no idea about the details of the story. Like, were the langoustinos in the tank with rubber bands on? Because if that's the case, it's like as long as you get the one you point at, then what's the problem? I don't know.
Well, I do think they're typically smaller than lobsters, but they're good. I remember the langoustines I had. It seemed like they're sort of a cross between like lobster and shrimp, somewhere in the middle there.
The mention of the complex life cycles, this reminds me on the series Futurama, we of course have Dr. John A. Zoidberg, who is a decapodian. So he has this crustacean, squid-like alien species. And there's one episode in particular where they outline the life cycle of a decapodian, and it has like all of these crazy life cycles, the stages of the life cycle that are based on what we actually see in the natural world. And it was it was quite clever.
Nice.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples.
Rob, as the local host with allergies here, they sent you some of their nasal spray to treat your allergies. What was your experience like?
Yeah, that's right. I always wrestle with the pollen a bit when it rolls in during the spring. So they sent me the little nasal spray. I tried out the product and yeah, it sure did help me get on top of my symptoms for the day. And it's so fast acting, it was already kicking in before I left the house.
Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It's the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing.
Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can get Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. Astapro and go. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. All right, this next message touches on a variety of topics, including some stuff about diamonds and some stuff about Weird House Cinema. This is from Jeremy. Jeremy says, "Hello, Robert and Joe. In your recent Nature of the Diamond Part 4 episode, the subject of body implants came up. In particular, forehead implants. I was surprised that the epic webcomic Kill 6 Billion Demons wasn't mentioned here, as many of the characters, including the main protagonist, have embedded forehead gems as a source of power. I'm sure you've recommended Kill 6 Billion Demons on one of your reading list episodes." This is funny because I feel like this just came up recently that like somebody else was saying we had recommended this, but I'm not familiar with it.
I think I recommended it. Years ago, but I'd forgotten a lot of the details about it. I haven't read it since then. It's tremendously enjoyable, beautiful art, but I had just honestly forgotten that they had forehead diamonds or gems or what have you.
Shame on you.
I know.
I love the failed to mention emails, but don't worry, Jeremy. It's fine. It's fine. Jeremy goes on. In your recent The Magic Sword Weird House episode, a concern was expressed that there would be insufficient handy princesses available to keep the dragon healthy with a regular food supply. Oh, yeah, this was because you got the impression once you got to Basil Rathbone's castle that he's just like churning through princesses about once or twice a week. He's got new princesses coming in all the time. The dragon, obviously, you know, takes a lot of calories to feed a dragon. They'll only eat princesses, I guess. And so that really has to add up. How many princesses are there? Well, Jeremy says, "I suspect that you underestimate the number of, quote, kings and hence castles there used to be in Europe, as the number of castles runs into the tens of thousands. For example, there are estimates of Germany, 25,000, France, 10,000, Spain, 6,000, UK, 1,500, which includes Wales, which has 600, making it the country with the most castles per square mile in the world."
Oh, wow.
I don't know where Jeremy is getting these numbers from, but if that's true, that is that's a lot of kings and I guess maybe a lot of princesses.
Yeah, if it's any indication, then maybe it was a good racket for an evil wizard to have.
Finally, Jeremy says, you often mention checking your podcast feed on Apple devices, and I've experienced this. I switched to the UK feed when it was released, and it worked perfectly until the 5th of January when it stopped, and I can't get it to reactivate. Thankfully, I was able to switch back to the original global version, which still works. Best regards, Jeremy. Okay, Rob, is this a good point to do another explainer on this, just briefly? We are very sorry for the inconvenience, listeners. We love you. We appreciate the fact that you listen, and we're very sorry for the runaround on this, but this was just a result of stuff we were told by corporate that we were going to have to move UK listeners to a separate feed, and then that requirement went away. So if any UK listeners are still on that other feed, you can come back to this one. It's okay now.
Right. And yeah, the UK feed is I think at this point completely gone. If the emails that I've read are accurate. So this is the only feed. If there's another feed that says it's Stuff to Blow Your Mind, that's not it. There can be only one.
That's right. We're extremely sorry for the inconvenience and confusion. It was out of our hands.
But you did the right thing by writing in and asking about it. Any kind of questions that come up about the podcast feed, be it the Apple feed or the iHeart main feed or any of the other feeds where you get the podcast, do bring it to our attention. Because sometimes it's something that's out of our hands. Sometimes it's, you know, something that has to do with the platform. Sometimes it's something that has to do with publication of the podcast episode. And alerting it to us, very possibly there's something we can do to help. So we appreciate it. We're not always able to observe the podcast in the wild, at least not as quickly as you listeners do.
Right. We don't always know what you're seeing in the place and way that you get the podcast.
Yeah.
All right, let's do a message or two about Weird House Cinema. This one comes from Maria Angela, who says, hi, I am a faithful Italian listener, and I love your podcast. I stumbled upon an old Hugh Grant movie, namely The Lair of the White Worm. I watched the trailer, and I immediately thought of you. It seems quite ludicrous and hilarious. Maybe not intentionally. I immensely enjoy your work. Maria Angela in Italy. Well, Maria Angela, thank you for bringing this to our attention. No, I am quite familiar with Lair of the White Worm, and I am quite certain it is intentional in its hilarity. That's a favorite of Rachel and I have watched that one many times. It's so I don't even know how to describe it. It's a hoot.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great director and Ken Russell. Based on Bram Stoker Stoker's work, and then you got a great cast. Not only Hugh Grant, but you got Peter Capaldi. You've got Katherine Oxenberg, Sammy Davis, great cast.
I mean, I wonder if it's scandalous in a way that we're not brave enough to do on Weird House, but it is great. And there are so many like great, just gif-able moments in it. I think of one where Amanda Donahoe just like vomits acid on a crucifix. yeah.
Oh, yes, that's right. Because she plays the... goodness, snake. I can't even remember. Snake woman, vampire lady, goddess.
Yeah, she's creature? Like a serpent sorceress.
Yeah, yeah. And it would be great to do a Ken Russell film at some point or another in Weird House, but he's one of those directors where I'm not sure exactly which one would be the right Ken Russell film for us to discuss.
Yeah.
All right, this next one comes to us from Chris. Chris says, Joe and Robert. Listener Roberta mentioned her viewing of The Magic Sword at a drive-in as a young child. This, incidentally, was the listener mail that reminded us that, hey, we should just go ahead and do The Magic Sword for Weird House, and so we did.
So thank you, Roberta.
Yeah. So Chris continues, she referred to a comment one of you made about Attack of the Puppet People, maybe wanting to hear from listeners who saw the movies during their original release. This prompted me to peruse the list of previous Weird House Cinema episodes. I noticed that I had watched a number of the films, Gorgo, Dr. X, The Thing from Another World, and others. You two may have opened a bucket of blood, oops, I mean can of worms. It would be an interesting project to have listeners write in about first seeing the movies, but you might want to widen your criteria. I can remember the theater and or other circumstances when I first saw some of them, but not the actual date, since I might have seen them as a second or third run. Movies were routinely part of second or later runs, including drive-ins when I was growing up. I think such Later distributions often produced pairings of double features different from their original ones. Some of us with a good number of birthdays might have seen older films primarily on television as part of local stations' late night, chiller theater, etc. Fare rather than in a theater. Chris.
Well, this is a great point, Chris. So when it comes to listener mail for Weird House Cinema, yeah, I don't want to limit anybody to writing in only about seeing a movie on the original run in the theater. If you saw something on, what was it called, Thriller with Boris Karloff, or maybe I'm getting that name wrong, any of these shows that had like late night horror host shows on TV when you were a kid, or if it was a second run or whatever, that's fine too. We just want to hear your great stories about seeing these movies.
Yeah, I want to hear about you discovering movies in the theater. I want to hear about you going to video rental stores. I want to hear about you discovering them in the depths of Amazon Prime, which, as I've mentioned before, for a good minute there had a whole lot of like weird stuff just in the back catalog. And mm-hmm. I think it's still there, but you have to find the right channels to subscribe to, be it Full Moon, you subscribe to the Full Moon channel, or even like the MGM Plus channel. I've noticed I had to dip into a subscription there to watch something. And like, there's a whole bunch of fabulous looking garbage in there that I'm going to have to sift through at some point or another. So yeah, all of these stories of cinematic discovery are fair game.
Also want to hear your plot summaries of movies that you haven't seen since you were like 5 years old with no refreshing.
Sure, sure.
How do you remember it? What do you think The Magic Sword was about?
All right, then. We're going to go ahead and close out this episode, but we'd love to hear from you. Again, Stuff to Blow Your Mind, primarily a science podcast, core episodes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And on Mondays, we do a little listener mail. On Wednesdays, we do a short form episode. And on Fridays, we set aside most serious concerns to just talk about a weird film on Weird House Cinema. Yeah, we'd love to hear from all of you if you have any responses to past episodes, current episodes, or potential future episodes for any of these publication days.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, JJ Posway. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring, and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.